How many times do you stop and stare at yourself in the mirror and convince yourself that you just can't make a difference? The odds are stacked against you and America is doomed. Well, probably too often. In today's episode, I'll present my 12-year endeavor to be an effective conservative political activist. I'll outline my victories and my failures, but more importantly, I will outline my strategy. Why? Because America's facing some of our darkest days ahead, and to save her will require all of us getting involved. Welcome to the Conservative's Guide to American Politics. My name is Ed Bejarano, and I am an otherwise happy-go-lucky conservative who enjoys life in North Idaho with his wife and two golden retrievers. For all intents and purposes, I keep to myself and figure folks should live and let live. You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But I am frustrated watching the news. All I really tune in to see is the weather and maybe some local interest stories, but most of what they show me is their political bias and socialistic tendencies. The American media is no longer neutral. Instead, they use their megaphone to influence political power. The ideals of America have been hijacked by people who otherwise dislike or hate American ideology. I started this podcast as my way to fight back from my little slice of America. Call it a rallying cry for other common sense conservatives to arm themselves against the onslaught of negativity. It is time the America-hating progressives hear from the silent majority. It is time for conservatives to stand up and be heard. So, I was invited to lunch by a friend. I didn't know at the time that the meeting was a setup. My friend and his friends needed help with a political effort, and for whatever reason, they picked me. We met for lunch, and the coordinated secondary meetings were obviously prearranged. While I was oblivious before the meeting, it took all of about 10 minutes for me to understand what was happening. By the time the special pistachio ice cream dessert hit the table, the big ask was laid out. They wanted some new blood to run for city council. I knew at the time that I would not be a good political candidate, but my new friends convinced me that they would provide me all the support I needed. They were convinced that all that was needed was sign placement and victory was a lock. I knew otherwise. At the time, I was not new to politics, just new to running for office. But I agreed. I kept my campaign trim. I didn't want to have to file financial reports. So I stayed just under the maximum donation amount to avoid filing with the state. I knew my opponent. I studied her political history, became an expert on the local issues, and believed I would do very well in the debates. All that was left was to campaign. But being self-employed and building my business, I couldn't walk door to door, a big issue for my campaign. So I met people for lunch and coffee. Lots of lunch and coffee. I was ready for the liberal constituents. I knew how to handle the objections, state my opinion, respect their viewpoint, and remain friendly. I was ready. I wasn't a sure thing, but I felt good about my chances, even as I felt they would be. I wasn't ready for the struggle I would have with other conservatives and their all-or-nothing approach to politics. I sat down with one guy who questioned my faith in God because I was not staunchly supportive of his pet project. I damn near punched the jerk. When he said, "You obviously don't believe in God, at least not the real God," I mean, I lost it. I shared with him what I felt about his statement, threw some money on the table, and walked out. He was not alone, and I faced a crisis of commitment. I wasn't going to do well if I couldn't garner support from other conservatives. This was an eye-opening experience. I lost that election by a lot. While I was done with the idea of running for office, I was committed to having a positive impact on local politics. I started with supporting two candidates running for city council. The business community met, and I shared a strategy for taking these two seats for conservatives in the community. They financially supported the endeavor, and we won both seats. After those victories, I was asked to help with other campaigns. The Mike Huckabee folks asked me to help with the Oregon effort. Alan Alley, running for governor of Oregon, asked me to help. And I also helped with a local state congressman. I helped pick up two more city council seats for the city of Fairview, Oregon. Honestly, I was developing quite the reputation. I helped with four more city council elections, won two and lost two. In my last campaign, I won one and lost four. The gig was up. They had figured out my strategy and developed a good counter strategy. I'll discuss more on this, but I foresaw the coming collapse 3 years earlier, and I tried to work with the local business community to overcome the issues, but I ran headlong into the conservative nature. More on this in a few minutes, too. See, the name of the game going forward was electing good people. With the negativity involved in politics, it is very difficult to attract good people. Who wants to subject their family to the abuse? Now, who wants to subject their family to potential violence? So I'm going to suggest the problem has more to do with economies of scale. My belief is the problem is a communications challenge. When hit with a negative piece, human nature demands we react. When the media is restricting your ability to give your side of the story, then you make mistakes. It is the mistakes that are magnified and ultimately end campaigns and political futures. Electing good people means creating the communication channels required to give them a fair chance to get their voice heard. When I was a minoring in poli-sci in college, going way back, I got a front row seat in the game of politics. I didn't have to support a candidate. I just had to study history and analyze campaign effects. What I saw was a shift in journalism from that of seeking the scoop to creating the narrative. This requires a bit of unpacking, so bear with me here. The news business is very competitive. There are thousands of media outlets in the United States, and each of them honestly would sell out the other for the scoop. The exclusive on a big, juicy story. Being first meant eyeballs, and eyeballs equaled newspaper sales. In short, money. The challenge is a reporter cannot be everywhere at once, and computers made decentralizing corruption possible. You see, it is usually corruption that destroys a campaign or a politician. It used to be that if a politician was just seen with a lobbyist, his or her political career was over. But by decentralizing the financial tracking, no one reporter could track down all the necessary facts. It was now too difficult to get the scoop, so news outlets had to find another way to attract subscribers. Note, we still hadn't made the transition to internet news distribution. Technology was still too new back then. Creating the narrative found an interesting bedfellow with the climate activists. By partnering with climate scientists, the media was able to start controlling the English language. Here's how it worked. And for that matter, here's how it still works. A scientist makes a statement about the pending end of the world and hinges the concept on a key term. You know the term I'm talking about, global warming. Now, anyone who challenged the term global warming was challenging science. Enter the speech police. When someone tried to point out the globe was not warming, the political activists paraded their bought and paid for scientists to say otherwise. Now you, the politician seeking higher office, is attacked for denying science, and you are no longer campaigning against your opponent. You're campaigning against paid scientists. all because the speech police held you to using their language. That tactic worked great until the internet advanced to the point where knowledge would first be searched for on the internet and not at your local library or newspaper archive room. When search engines made it possible for everyone to get any information at any time, the news outlets had to find another way to keep the eyeballs. They figured working together increased their chances to garner attention. So then we started seeing coordinated attacks. Here's how they worked. News outlet one publishes an opinion piece and cites a made-up anonymous source from the White House or Congress or whatever is best suited. The news outlet 2 publishes a report based on news outlet 1's opinion story. News outlet 3 picks up on news outlet 2's story, and voila, you have just witnessed a laundered news story. Just like the mob laundering money by running it through several businesses, the news outlets launder stories. While the Democrats are working with a finely tuned and highly coordinated communication machine, Republicans are bickering back and forth about minutia. We lose our campaigns because we follow an all-or-nothing strategy. If you don't agree to 100% of the party platform, then you are not a real Republican, and thus you are attacked, not by Democrats, but by Republicans. President Reagan used to call that the third rail of politics. Don't attack your own. But this is tough. I mean, what if a person running on the Republican ticket supports abortion rights? Or what about prohibiting Bibles in schools? Or supports gun control? We have morals and thus fight amongst ourselves. Meanwhile, the media controls the airwaves and prevents Republicans from expressing their point of view. So campaign ends and Democrat wins. Democrats follow a very strict communication strategy. They don't speak in absolutes, they don't attack one another, and they don't venture from the agreed line of attack. Lastly, Democrats have no problems using negative campaign tactics, where Republicans don't like to go negative. They prefer to win on ideas. Noble ideal, but if nobody hears your idea, then you will not win the election. So the answer to the problem is stated in the problem. Democrats control the media, so Republicans must create their own media outlets. Fine for folks like Bezos. He's worth billions and can buy the Washington Post. No, I'm not talking about competing with the existing media outlets, not on their own turf. No, I'm talking about taking advantage of an underused technology to get the message out. I am, of course, talking about podcasting. Lots of folks would argue that video channels like YouTube are a better approach, but that is just not true. That video camera is not fair to all participants. What is the phrase? The camera adds 10 pounds? I'm not fat. I'm just being viewed through 10 cameras. Look what News Talk Radio did for the conservative movement in the 1980s. Hosts like Levine, Limbaugh, and Hannity gave a voice to candidates who otherwise would never get a chance to speak to the public. Radio stations are expensive and have a limited reach. Podcasting, on the other hand, is inexpensive and can be heard anywhere. Since podcasting distribution is decentralized, no one company controls distribution. Example, Google controls 90% of the search market. There are more than 100 podcast distribution channels. That means you upload your podcast episode to a host, and that host serves that file to hundreds of places who download the file and share with their users. Plus, The audio file can be added to any website and listened to directly on a website. Now candidates can create their own channel and bypass the media completely. Another area where politicians need help is in the area of moral support. Those first two city council seats I helped win required me to be, a lightning rod, actually. I went out front and I drew fire away from the candidates. I became the person people hated. I created a blog channel to give my candidates a place to voice their issues. The local newspaper tried to fight me, but I actually had higher readership from the constituents than the newspaper had in subscribers in the city. The fact that I was out front verbally championing the candidates helped the candidates continue the fight. After the election, both candidates I supported confided with me that my outspoken support helped them continue to push when the campaign got brutal. It is uncomfortable, but we have to support our chosen candidates. We have to help them get their message heard. We have to sing their praises because Lord knows the news outlets will not. I would invite you to search for my name on the internet. You'll find dozens of articles, all attack pieces by the local press who worked overtime to shut me up. I never gave in to the press, and I kept using my communication channel to speak directly to the public. This was pre-podcast. My constituents had to read my words. Today with podcasting, constituents can hear the words firsthand. Do you have a candidate you want to support? Do they need a communication channel to get their message heard? Call me and we can work out a conservative-friendly deal to allow them to reach the public directly. Are you a precinct committee person or a central committee chairman or woman? Then let's work together to create a communication channel just for your local community to present issues and candidates you are supporting. Stay one step ahead of the media requires a collaborative effort, and setting up a podcast channel can be a good way to allow more people to get involved in the messaging that will help you get good people elected to office. A portion of this program has been sponsored by Joe at F1 for Help. I've been using Joe for my computer needs for over 4 years, and I have referred dozens of my friends and clients to Joe for technical support. Keeping your computer safe is so very important, and Joe is very good at fixing and protecting your computer. Give him a call today at 208-687-0183 for the best in computer support. Most problems can be fixed remotely, but Joe also makes house calls in the North Idaho region. F1 for Help. Please support the companies that support this program.
This has been an episode of The Conservative's Guide to American Politics. We hope you've gained new knowledge that helps you in your day-to-day struggle to navigate the minefield of liberal ideals. Please share this episode with your conservative friends and help them gain the strength needed to face the progressive assault against America. The stance we take today will determine our future and the future for our children. Like this podcast and help send a message to the progressives. Stand proud of your conservative ideology. Bring together your neighbors and look not for the shelter of silence. Speak your mind, exercise your right to free speech, or one day the idea of America might only be a note in history.